We're going to read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, text, opulence of the absolute, text number 10. Tesham sadatam yuktanam vajantam priti porvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to worshipping me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport, in this verse, the word buddhi yoga is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord instructing Arjuna said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is a process by which one gets out of this entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know that this, therefore the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna, and when the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. When a person knows the goal of life, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculation to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. When he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is a complete yoga. Complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. A person may have a bona fide spiritual master, and may be attached to a spiritual organization. But still, if he is not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. The devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. So the verse again, Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti porvakam tadami buddhyokam tam yenamam upyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted to worshiping me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. The understanding by which they can come to me. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Saraswatim Deve Gauravani Vacharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskyatyade Satarne. Thank you all for coming. I realize it's austere. Unless you have, if you made edible mass, it would probably be less austere. At least you could, they'd have some value at the end, you could always have them for prasadam. But right now we haven't come to that stage. But at least when I first came here, that's when the coronavirus pandemic scare and restrictions really started. So I think for some months we couldn't even have a Sunday feast. We couldn't even have a temple programs, practically speaking. But now, so it's not so bad. Hopefully it won't get any worse. The title of this class is Speaking with Krishna. And this is a verse about speaking with Krishna. For some time I was on a traveling party in America called Radha Damodar. If anyone ever heard of the Radha Damodar party, we were distributing a good number of books for some time. And I was on a party with one other devotee for some time. It was called, we had bus parties. And this devotee, his name was Drinardin. He's still a devotee. I haven't seen him for some time. He became a sannyasi in another math. But we were good friends. And one day he was in New Vrindavan in 1976 on a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and he asked Srila Prabhupada a question. He said, "Srila Prabhupada, some Christians, they claim that Krishna talks to them." So Prabhupada said, "Well, who does Krishna talk to?" And Drinardin said, "Well, I don't really know." So Prabhupada said, "What does it say in Bhagavad Gita?" And Drinardin said, "I don't know." And then Prabhupada said, "Well," he quoted this verse. Prabhupada quoted, "Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam." And then Drinardin made the mistake of saying, "Oh, I knew that verse, Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "Well, if you knew the verse, why didn't you say it?" And he said, "Well, you know it." And then Prabhupada said, "Do you read my books?" And then for half an hour, Prabhupada literally was, you could feel the heat. Half a kilometer away, the heat was coming. And I remember talking to Drinardin right after that, and he was like, "Whew, was he bewildered?" So the point is, we should know who Krishna talks to. Otherwise, everyone is claiming that God, everyone is thinking God is talking to them. If they're not thinking that they're God, which most people think, but they think God is talking to them. So whatever they do is supposed to be perfect, because after all, either I'm God or I'm being directed by God, which is not much of a difference. But here it explains who Krishna actually talks to. Actually, Krishna is talking to everyone. Because it says in the Krishna book that the whole world is full of Krishna singing. And everyone's simply understanding it in different ways. That everyone is dancing with Krishna, but those who are dancing, imitating Krishna, they're dancing with Krishna's maya. And those who are dancing in harmony with Krishna, they're dancing the rasa dance. So the point is that Krishna talks to everyone, but he tells them different things according to what they desire. Because actually our very desiring is a prayer. The living entity, the soul, cannot live without desire, and he's always desiring. Now, of course, our desires are also conditioned, because we can only desire according to what's being presented to us. We don't create desires. Desires are supplied by the material nature, and they pass through our mind, and we simply dovetail our desires with those desires we choose the desire according to our conception of life. In other words, Prabhupada said, if you get the body of a hog, for instance, then you have a body and it has a certain structure, it has a certain digestive system, and it likes a certain kind of food. And so when it sees that food, then naturally the desire goes through that mind, because it's a conditioned mind, and the soul, because you have a certain body, desires to fulfill that desire, because it appears that it'll bring happiness, pleasure, and satisfaction. Now, in a uniform of life, we haven't come to that stage yet, like a hog, so that if a certain kind of food, like stool, comes, we see it, generally our mind doesn't, we don't become attached to the idea, as even if their desire did happen to flow through our mind, we probably wouldn't become attached to it, because we have a different conception of life, a different body, it has different desire, it has different necessities, and we have a different conception of life than a hog. So, material nature is supplying us with a particular body that we're in now, and it's also supplying us with different ideas which are passing through our minds according to our conditioned nature, according to what we've done in the past. And we're also being supplied intelligence so we can discriminate whether we want that, whether that particular food is applicable to our body or not. And then we desire. The soul has to do something, so it desires, yes, there is some halava, I want that. And then Krishna says, all right, this is how you get it. You go to the place where they're serving the halava and bring a plate, and then they'll give you some halava. So Krishna gives us the intelligence. He talks to us. He's telling us how to fulfill our desires. Without Krishna telling us, speaking to us, we can't do anything. He's the one who's supplying remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Many times we take it for granted. But sometimes people can't even remember who they are anymore. They get to a stage, their own children come before them, they can't remember, who are you? Now for a non-devotee, even a devotee sometimes finds themselves in that difficulty. There is one spiritual master in another sampradaya, and he was very old. He was over 100 years old. He was the elder. He was known as the elderly Puri Maharaj. And Brajabihari Prabhu, if you know Brajabihari Prabhu, one of the devotees from America, he went to see him because he knew him from before. And when he saw this particular devotee, Puri Maharaj, Brajabihari Prabhu said, Puri Maharaj, it's me, Brajabihari. And he said, who? He said, I can't remember anything. I'm over 100 years old now. He said, the only thing I can remember is Krishna. So if you lose all your memory, but you can only remember Krishna, don't worry about it. You're all right. So that's Krishna supplying remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Now the question is, if Krishna is supplying remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness to everyone, what's the difference between a devotee and a non-devotee? Well, here he says, if we do, we hear from the right source, because that's the previous verse, with the right attitude, then the result is that we learn what to do to serve Krishna. And we can develop a desire to please Krishna, to serve Krishna in the right association. Because in the right association, we may, according to our activities, according to the service that we've been explained how to do, service such as chanting Hare Krishna, or reading these books like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, or worshipping the deities. There's some devotional activity we can do, and by doing it, we feel satisfied. Satisfied means that some of our anxiety goes away, some of our hankering and lamentation goes away, and we feel ourselves more, we can feel some transcendental pleasure, and at the same time, we feel satisfied. So that's called tushanti, satisfaction, which comes from the performance of devotional service. We may not be rolling on the ground when we chant Hare Krishna. Our sikha may not stand on end. But we feel some happiness and satisfaction in the service to Krishna. Some simple service. And for those who are more advanced, when they hear Hare Krishna, they're deeply absorbed in remembering of Krishna. As a matter of fact, some of them are even in the spiritual world when they hear Hare Krishna. Murari Gupta was a great devotee. He was an Ayurvedic physician, and he was a servant of a king, a Mohammedan king. And one day the servant of the Mohammedan king came with a peacock fan, big peacock fan. There were a lot of peacocks where they were, so they could make big fans. And he, as soon as he started to fan the king, because Murari Gupta was consulting with the king about some medical advice, giving him some medical advice, and as soon as Murari Gupta saw the peacock fan, immediately he remembered Krishna, and he fainted in ecstasy and fell from the dais. And the king came and said, are you all right? Now he was treating the doctor. And he said, well, actually, I have this disease called epilepsy, and sometimes it attacks me, and that's why I faint like that. But it was actually when he saw something that reminded him of Krishna, then he became so deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness that he forgot everything else, and he fainted in ecstasy. Now, we're probably somewhere in between that. But the point is, if we hear Bhagavad Gita, for instance, then we should understand Bhagavad Gita is actually Krishna speaking personally to us. It's not some book that was written 5,000 years ago, and it may or may not be applicable now, but actually it's Krishna's personal words, which are applicable eternally. And when we read Bhagavad Gita, when we have the fortune to read Bhagavad Gita, then we should understand it's actually Krishna talking personally to us. Just as it's as good as if we were on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and Krishna was speaking to us as if we were Arjuna. And at the same time, Srila Prabhupada's purpose are Srila Prabhupada talking personally to us. And if we take that attitude, then Krishna within our heart, he'll reveal to us that it actually is him talking to us. He's not talking to us in the book. He's actually talking to us from within our heart. That Prabhupada's not talking to us through the purport on the page. He's talking to us within the heart. It's just a question of whether or not we want to listen. Now, if we listen a little bit, in other words, we may not be able to hear fully what they're saying, either externally or internally, but if we listen to a little and we accept that this is Krishna's message to us and we take up that message in the spirit of service to try to please Krishna and Prabhupada and his devotees, then the result is, Krishna says, the dami buddhi yogam tam. Simply by that resolution to serve Krishna, then Krishna immediately reciprocates and gives us the intelligence how to fulfill that desire to serve him. Or as Prabhupada writes somewhere in a thing in the Srimad Bhagavatam, simply by the resolution of the desire to serve Krishna, then one will directly see Krishna in the pages of the Bhagavatam. So it's a question of accepting the fact that Krishna is talking to us. He's talking to everyone. But we have to be willing to hear what he's actually trying to tell us. Just like someone may be on the street, he's walking along, and someone comes up and says, you know, where is the shopping center? So he's going to tell them because that's what they're asking for. Even if he's a devotee, he's not going to necessarily, unless he has some books or something, he's not going to say, well, actually, have you heard about Krishna? And, you know, in Goloka Vrindavan, you know, if you chant Hare Krishna, you'll make some progress. Like, no, they're asking, where is the shopping center? And then, therefore, the devotee will say, it's over there. Because that's what they're asking for. Now, if another devotee comes up and says, you know, where is Krishna? Then the devotee will say, he's in your heart. Oh really? How do I see him? Is there any kind of magnifying glass or? Well, chant Hare Krishna. In other words, if you ask a certain question, you can expect to get a certain answer. Similarly, if we ask, "How can I serve you?" and we sincerely want to serve Krishna. In other words, devotional service is actually the development of that desire to serve Krishna. Now in the beginning, as the Prabhupada explains here, that actually we're trying to hear, we're asking Krishna certain questions, like, where's the money? Or as we used to sing that song, give me a house, give me a wife, give me a color TV, Om Jai Jagadisha Hari. If we sing like that, we think like that, we feel like that, then Krishna will tell us, well, As we have, I have experienced that in the beginning, the only thing we knew how to distribute was books, because that was the only thing we had. In fact, we didn't have very much. We didn't even have clothes to speak of. We didn't have dhotis. We used to go to the shop and buy some cotton, you know, these big things of cotton, and then cut them up and make dhotis out of them. They were actually bed sheets. So people used to accuse us of wearing bed sheets, and they were right. We were actually wearing bed sheets. Luckily, we didn't have to sleep with them at night and wake up. And then again, we didn't have shoes even. All we had was tongs, these bathroom tongs. because everything was considered Maya. We didn't, shoes were considered Maya, clothes were considered Maya, and Maya was considered Maya also. So we didn't have very much, and we didn't have very much to desire or not to desire, and therefore we simply did some service. There was no question of desiring to get anything because we already gave up, we thought we gave up everything except for our material consciousness. But then the devotees, when they realized that Krishna is like a desire tree, and you can get what you want, then they started to get into other things. At first, as I said, we were distributing books, and whatever money we got, we gave to the temple, and we didn't even have Sankirtan scores. We didn't even have the prestige, couldn't even get the prestige of getting your name in the Sankirtan newsletter, because no one reads the Sankirtan newsletter anymore anyhow. But in any case, there was a time when people used to want to, I was thinking I was the top in the world. I only made it up to the top 20 in book distribution, so I couldn't be too proud, but I was proud enough. I was above 20, the 21st one. And they used to read the names of the Sankirtan devotees, and they go, Jai, Jai. Ah, it's all right. I'm all right, it's all right. What did you say? Jai, okay. So we weren't so much distributing for, and then came along paraphernalia. I don't know if you ever discovered paraphernalia here or not. Did you ever have paraphernalia? Paraphernalia means like, we got into things like distribution of records, candles, anything that moved we'd sell. Even on book distribution one time I was in a fair and we ran out of books. And so we picked up leaves from the street. And we stopped people at the fair and they said, you know, we're selling magic leaves. And they said, really, what are they? I said, you put them in a glass of water and after a week or two it sprouts a tree. They're magic leaves. And we were so enthusiastic, we were selling them for $5 a piece each leaf. And people are giving $5 for a leaf. So the problem with that is that people started to get into this fruit of, they started to think, because some of the devotees were making, you know, $5,000, well, rarely, but you know, $500 a day selling candles or whatever. And they thought, and after some time doing it, they think, why should I give all the money to Krishna? I should keep some of it myself. I said, so they started candle businesses, and still they're selling painting businesses, etc., etc. So that's called, they got into this idea that, why do I have to give it all to Krishna? So here Krishna says, it's karma yoga. Krishna says, yeah, you don't want to give it to me? Sure, go for it. Do what you want. And then, of course, we have the example of those who are intellectuals. They discovered the world of Sanskrit, and they knew more than everyone else. They weren't richer than everyone else, but they're more intelligent than everyone else. And they thought they were even more intelligent than Srila Prabhupada. So this is a danger, that we have to understand that we're supposed to become dependent on Krishna. Ask Krishna, what do you want me to do? So that's called Buddha Yoga. Just asking Krishna simply, what can I do for you? How should I do it? Etc., etc. So that's called Buddha. That's the highest intelligence. Everyone can have that intelligence. It's our normal intelligence. And if one has that intelligence, then his life becomes perfect. We're not trying to become great scholars. We're not trying to become famous or rich or anything. We're trying to become sincere, as Prabhupada writes here, sincere servants of Krishna, and simply inquire from him through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, through the Lord in the heart, pray to him, what can I do to serve you? And of course, these books that Prabhupada has given us give us so many instructions how to serve Krishna. And if we take them up, as Prabhupada said, with our heart and soul, then we'll become perfectly Krishna conscious. And then Prabhupada said at the end of this purport, which is just, you know, he says, first, people do not know that the association of devotees and a spiritual master are important. And then he says, one should have a bona fide, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master, may be attached to a spiritual organization, but still if he's unintelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The point is that the goal is Krishna. And as long as one knows that the goal is Krishna, even if one is not very intelligent and cannot take full advantage of a bona fide spiritual master or even the association of devotees, but still if one knows that the goal is Krishna and sincerely tries to do some kind of service and to do it with care and attention, then Krishna will help from within and inspire one to make progress in devotional service. Because ultimately it depends upon our sincerity. And when Krishna sees our sincere desire to try to please him, then he'll, and try to please his devotees, then Krishna will give us the intelligence. Intelligence means he'll take away to some extent the covering of illusion that we're under. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhu Kabanoi Shravanadi Shudachite Karyo Udoi. That all of us were by nature pure devotees of Krishna. It's just that we've been covered over. Just like the sun is in the sky, but sometimes a cloud comes and blocks the sunlight. The sun is not blocked, but the clouds block us from seeing the sun. So similarly, due to the clouds of material nature that are covering us, we don't see everything clearly. But when the sun becomes a little stronger, then the clouds go away, and then gradually we can see the sun and ourselves and everything else in the light of the sun. So when Krishna sees even a little sincerity, then he burns away some of our illusion, and then things become clearer, and we can understand the path of becoming Krishna conscious, and we become inspired to take to that path and follow it a little bit more sincerely. And as Prabhupada writes here, that if we just practice every day, one doesn't have to come to the temple to hear from Krishna. Krishna is in our heart already. Krishna is in the books. He's in our service to the deities. He's in the holy name. He's in the association of devotees. There doesn't have to be a million devotees. Just a husband and wife, they're devotees. And Krishna is also in our home if we make it we create a spiritual atmosphere. Just as he's in a temple, if sincere devotional service is going on. Then we'll be able to hear from Krishna more and more. One time Ramaswara Prabhu was with Srila Prabhupada and was being interviewed by a reporter. And the reporter is asking Prabhupada, he said, they say that you're a pure devotee. Does that mean that God speaks to you directly? And Ramaswara Prabhu interrupted more or less and said, actually, you know, Krishna is giving Prabhupada, our spiritual master, intelligence, and therefore he's able to... So Prabhupada interrupted and said, no, Krishna talks directly to me. He speaks to me. Now, if we made that statement, people will think we're crazy. Of course, they think we're crazy anyhow. It wouldn't be much of a difference. It would just confirm their suspicions. But when a great personality like Prabhupada says that, we can take it seriously because Krishna Shakti Vinanaya Tara Pavartana. And that's Krishna is giving Prabhupada the intelligence how to personally inspire everyone that he met to some degree or another to take up the process of Krishna consciousness. We wouldn't be here either. So the proof that Krishna is speaking to him is not that if you ask Prabhupada who's going to win the lottery and Prabhupada asks Krishna said, well, it's 109333. That's the winning number in next year. You go, okay, let me write that down. Go, can you repeat that? No, Prabhupada didn't ask Krishna those questions. He asked, how can I help you? How can I help serve your mission of bringing Krishna's other children back to the spiritual kingdom? He was asking Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how can I serve your mission? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Yari Deka Tari Kaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Aigai Guru Hana Tari Desh. Whoever you meet, you should tell them about Krishna. And that way you should become Yari Deka Tarika Krishna Upade Amara Aigaya. Become a guru, a real guru, and help liberate this land. So if we're inquiring from Krishna, whoever we meet, how can I help this soul become Krishna conscious? Then Krishna will give that kind of intelligence. And if we serve that mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Krishna will reveal himself to us and we'll become ecstatic, we'll become fully conscious, and we'll become eligible to go back to the spiritual world. So thank you, Hare Krishna. Any questions?
Hare Krishna, could I just ask for advice? So can it be, to what extent is it good for our spiritual practice if we are strongly attached to some concrete spiritual activities instead of being attached directly to the service to others? So if we have already the picture of how we want to serve, so if we are not very flexible in the type of service.
Well, you can always study yoga. That will make you more flexible. There's certain exercises that increase flexibility. But we should be attached to something. There are 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam. So one could become attached to one of those processes, or one may become attached to many of them. But one should, if one becomes attached to one of the processes, then one's life will become successful. But especially Shravanam, hearing, is important, because without hearing, proper hearing, we can't understand how to perform the other 8 activities. So hearing is essential, but one may become attached to some other activity also. Even prasadam, you can become attached to eating prasadam. One time Vishnu Jan Maharaj, was the head of a center in Texas, in America, and all the devotees wanted to do was eat prasadam all day long. That was their service. So Vishnu Jan Maharaj was inquired from Prabhupada, he said, is it right? The only thing the devotees of my temple want to do is eat all day long. So Prabhupada said, that's all right. He said, but in between bites they should chant Hare Krishna. So that's okay. Anything else? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I would like to ask, because if I remember correctly, Prabhupada sometimes says like Buddha Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. So can you say a little bit what is the difference, if it is any difference between Buddha Yoga or Bhakti Yoga?
Well, Buddha Yoga is the intelligence by which we can perform Bhakti Yoga. They're the same thing. In other words, real intelligence is intelligence how to love Krishna and how to love Krishna's devotees. That's real intelligence. Everything else is lack of intelligence to some degree. Spiritual world, that's all that goes on, is love of Krishna. And therefore, people, the devotees there in Krishna, they're fully conscious. And here, because we're doing something else, we're only partially conscious. So real intelligence is how to love Krishna and his devotees. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Grandharaj Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai.